Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Cadila Healthcare Q1 FY14 post-results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Nayak. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nayak.
Thank you. A very good morning to you, and welcome to our post-results teleconference for the first quarter of FY13-14. We have with us Mr. Pankaj Patel, our Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Parekh, CFO, and Vishal Gaur, Senior General Manager, Investor Relations. First, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter. Our India formulations business posted sales of 6,252 million rupees, up by 8%. We launched over 20 new products, including line extensions in India during the quarter, of which five were for the first time in India. Our U.S. business posted sales of 3,874 million rupees, up by 8%. We filed five additional ANDAs with the U.S. FDA, including two for topical products, and we also launched our first injectable product in the U.S. market during this quarter. During the quarter, we commenced the commercial operations in the Mexican market with the launch of our first product. Four additional product dossiers were submitted to the Mexican Regulatory Authority, which is the COFEPRIS, and the approval was also received for two more products during this quarter, taking the cumulative number of filings and approvals to 24 and 5, respectively. Zydus Wellness Limited posted sales of 1,150 million rupees, up by 11%, and the net profit grew by 68% to 227 million rupees. Our API business posted sales of 858 million rupees, up by 13%. With the launch of 15 new products, exports to emerging markets grew by 14% and registered sales of 822 million rupees. We registered sales of 927 million rupees in Europe, up by 9%, and we also launched two new products in France and six new products in Spain during the quarter. We received the DCGI's permission to launch Lipaglyn in India. It is the first glitazone to be approved in the world and the first new chemical entity discovered and developed indigenously by an Indian pharmaceutical company. We are going to be launching this product in the month of September. Now, let me take you to the broad financial numbers. During the quarter, on a consolidated basis, our gross sales was up by 6.4% year-on-year to 16.5 billion rupees from 15.5 billion rupees last year. Lower consolidated sales growth was mainly on account of lower sales growth in India and the U.S. and a sales decline in Brazil. Sales in India were impacted by destocking of inventories by the stockists due to the impending price revisions in the NLEM-covered products. Sales growth in the U.S. and Brazil were impacted by the lack of new product approvals during the quarter. Our net profit stood at 1,956 million rupees versus 1,948 million rupees last year. Thank you, and we shall now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. First question is from the line of Ashish Rathi from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for taking my question. So on the India business in particular, what is the kind of impact that we can expect from a full year basis from the NLEM, and also, what is the outlook going ahead from a full year perspective at 5:14 after this quarter?
For the whole year, the impact of NLEM is about 90 crore rupees.
Okay. And so,
What you see in the current quarter, there is impact of restocking by stockists in the marketplace because they stopped taking products middle of May and June, and July also the same situation continues. It seems that at this moment there is some confusion in the market with respect to this 45 days and also with respect to trade margin. So currently, there is a kind of a disturbance in the Indian market, and that's one of the reasons why, there is a destocking happening at the stockist level.
And sir, outlook, when do you see this situation recovering for us, and what?
It's difficult to say because it's not in my hand. It's in the hands of third parties, and it's difficult to say at this moment when this situation should resolve. Optimistically, I would say it should get resolved in the next few weeks or maximum up to the end of the quarter.
So can we still look at around 15 to 17% kind of a growth for this full year, or more than that?
It's difficult to say how long this impact continues. That would tell us, but growth will definitely impact because of the price reduction because of NLEM, and B, because of this significant impact on by the stocking of stockists. So both put together, it's difficult to give you a number at this moment. As soon as the situation becomes normal, we can come back to our normal growth level minus the NLEM impact. But it's difficult to say at this moment exactly whether we could have 15% growth or 17% growth or 14% growth.
Sure. And second question is on Brazil business. We've seen some pain in the business for the last four quarters. Of course, there was some Anvisa strike and all previously which happened, and there was some low growth. But now, hopefully things are resolved on that front. And secondly, what is the reason why they are seeing this 20% kind of a decline this quarter? Lack of product approvals, is when do you see that situation resolving, and what can we look going ahead for Brazil?
It's very difficult to predict when actually the product approval will happen, because we only hear delays, and the agency does not give guidance or idea when they will able to approve the product. On top of it, there is increase in, because of economic reasons, that interest rates in Brazil have gone up, and in the process the stockists have started restocking, so they usually used to keep inventory of approximately 75 to 90 days. Now they are bringing it down to 45 days, and also that has an impact on overall sales numbers. And of course currency fluctuation is there on Brazil as well, which is affecting import prices and also to some extent the competitiveness.
So could you tell us what is the number of products that are filed and yet to be approved in Brazil for us, and what was the same number?
Yeah, can you provide this?
Yeah. So for Brazil, so far we have 502 products with Anvisa, of which only 40 have been approved and 62 are pending approval.
And is there could you give me a split between how many generic filings are there?
Vishal can provide you offline. He doesn't have just now here.
Okay, no
issue. I would request Vishal to give you that offline.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Monica Joshi from Avendus Securities. Please go ahead. Yes, good morning. Just to get your thoughts on your U.S. Pipeline, are you sticking with your 20-plus launch target for the year?
The way things are happening, I don't think we could touch 20 products this year. We expect that maybe in this year, the last part of the 9 months, we could have roughly 5 to 8 approvals, and more approvals we could expect in the next year. Because of the change in the U.S. law, we are not seeing approvals coming through, because they want to give a complete response letter, and based on the complete response letter only, they want to move forward, and that takes a longer time. So maybe 5 to 8 products for the balance part of the year we can see at this moment.
Right, and so if there is a change in the way the USFDA is really taking approvals forward, do you think this will have kind of a ripple effect into FY15 as well, and do you see that momentum thus picking up to staying same at 5 to 8, or that should really go up?
No, it should be significantly larger number coming up, because they have changed the process.
Right.
And because the FDA process has changed, its changing process is taking time in this year, but actually this is done to actually speed up the regulatory approval process. So next year onwards, we expect that the approvals will be faster, and the timeline will start reducing in the process.
Okay. If I remember from the last call, you had mentioned something about a plant inspection in August, and I believe that was for your transdermal facility. Is that happening?
Yeah, it's happening at this moment.
Okay, correct. Now, just one clarification, Vishal, if you could help us, or if Nitin Bhai is around. So, what we're seeing is a depreciation number staying constant for the last 5 quarters, and what we understand is there has been some 680 crores of capex, and you continue to invest in capacity. So, why does is your depreciation staying flat?
So, this is Vishal.
Yeah.
If you compare QOQ, yes, there is hardly any increase in the depreciation, because in last quarter, that is March, we had some one-time impairment charges in one of our businesses which was booked, so it is not a recurring in nature. If you minus that, then there is sequential growth of over 15 million rupees. And majority of the CapEx which we have done, it is still under WIP, so as and when they are installed and put to use, they would be capitalized, and depreciation would start on them once they are capitalized.
Right. And what is this one-time charge related to, Usha?
It was related to one of our... it was about 30 million rupees. And it was related to one of our business in... or one of our... some of our intangibles in Brazil.
Right. And just one accounting question. What's your net debt, gross and net debt situation right now?
Net debt as of now is 2,550 crore rupees.
2,550, and gross would be?
Gross 3,025 crores.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Girish Bhagru from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One clarification on the borrowings, you have reported small forex gain in the quarter. Why is that a gain?
Because, majority of the loss which we have booked because of forex fluctuations would have been routed through foreign currency monetary item transaction difference account. So that is routed through balance sheet basically, and whatever amortization happens would be reported in the P&L. And whatever gain we would have realized in the initial part of the quarter on settlement of some of our loans is higher than the amortization charge. So there is a little bit of gain on net basis in interest cost.
Okay, okay. And Pankajbhai, on the overall U.S. Launches, I know you've given outlook of 5-8 approvals, but if you could just give color, Niaspan or Esplin be part of the approval that you can see in this fiscal?
No, I don't think that would be part of the approval.
Okay, and on the overall R&D guidance, given you have plans to take this new product Glepaglin to other markets, would R&D jump up, though this quarter there was some bit of moderation? Where would you see the R&D going forward?
R&D going forward is going to remain flat, because a lot of R&D investments which we have made, we do not need to make next year. So, however, there will be an additional investment we will make when we start doing clinical studies in US and Europe for Glepaglin. And assuming both of these, we expect R&D to remain flat next year.
How big do you think this product can be? And I mean, basically, if I understand correctly, this will take some markets from the old oral anti-hypoglycemic products, right? Where would the overall market go to?
See, we expect that this market in India could be about 100 crore rupees in next 2 to 3 years. And in the globally, we expect this market, so when we launch in US and Europe territory, it can be between $500 million to $1 billion, depending upon what kind of indication approval and when do we get approval. Of course, this will take a longer period, because approval cycle should take us 3 to 5 years, and subsequently launch and getting sale will take an even longer period. We are very excited about this new molecule, and we believe that this can completely change the future of our organization.
And just lastly, on this new deal with IDRI on Kalaazar, just have you booked any payment on this?
There are no payment involved. We are only going to participate by way of doing clinical studies in India. There are no payments involved in this deal.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The IDR is a kind of a organization which does not work for profit.
Right, right. And this would be a big vaccine, right, given there are no vaccines in Kalaazar right now?
There are no vaccines on Kalaazar available.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rajendra.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kartik Mehta from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand that if you look at the IMS or the AVAX data for the first 3 months of this year, April, May, June, Cadila has grown in excess of 15% in the secondary sales, whereas we report less than 10%. Where is the miss here? Is it that from your end only you gave the inventory list, and if the secondary sales the growth is so high, which categories you think are actually growing faster than what you would have expected? Can this help us out on this?
See, there are two elements in this. One is, that is the secondary sale. We report primary sales.
Yes.
Second is, there is always an element of fudge between what is the actual sale and what is reported by IMS. So it is because of these two factors that you see the difference between our number of growth and what is reflected by IMS.
If we look at other companies which have reported their numbers, your growth has been higher. We saw some of your peers report yesterday, and they have actually degrown. Just to understand this overall point, is it fair to assume that the overall industry growth will be lower for two reasons? That the pharma companies didn't actually put in inventory because it was old price, and that will be repriced. And you explained that there was some confusion on the 45-day. There's some strike in Maharashtra also. So going ahead, if we have to annualize, is it fair to assume that in the next quarter, either be the industry and you would have more than 3 months sales recorded because there will be inventory filling also?
See, there's a lot of confusion. If you ask me, it's a mess. So the main reason for what you're saying is this 15% what is shown by IMS and internal growth being 8% is mainly because of the destocking. Because today the stockists are very hesitant to purchase anything, because it's not only an issue of the stocks which will have a differentiated pricing, but there's also an issue which has been raised about margins. And that is a thing which is actually creating a lot of resistance from the stockists. Because, you know, the products which have gone into NLEM earlier were having a 10% stockist commission. Now that, according to the understanding, because NLEM has said the retailer's margin has to come down from 20 to 16. Obviously, the stockist margin comes to 8%.
Yeah.
The stockists are saying it should be 10%. And there are so many issues related to the margins which have been raised, because of which there is almost a stop in purchases. And most of the companies are, especially the bigger ones, because, you know, we have scale. And that's why the stakes are very high on these stockists. So that's why they are trading very, very cautiously.
Yeah, the next
just to add to what Mr. Nayak is saying, you know, up till now the practice in India, in industry, and which was approved by government, was that from a particular batch number, new price will be applicable. So in the market, people know that from this batch, this price will be previously, whatever old price was, that will continue. Unfortunately, in this new pricing order, they have removed that paper batch and put 45 days. Now it has created a lot of mess, because there could be inventory at retailer level, there could be inventory at wholesaler level, there could be inventory at stockist level, and all these inventories cannot become zero in 45 days.
Yes.
And as a result, there is what to do, there is a lot of confusion in the whole market, and that is impacting the purchases by stockists.
So sir, would it be fair to assume that from the perspective of Kerala, effective destocking would have happened by the end of the June quarter, or would have happened in July, and from now on, would it be fair to assume that effective new price inventory, which will be loaded in the trade and also for the next 3 months, that number will be not ideally a 3 month sale number. It will be higher than the three month sale number. Is that a fair assumption?
It is difficult. I tell you this, when this whole mess is going to be resolved, we don't know today. And it all depends how soon this mess is getting resolved. The moment this is resolved, things will become normal. And then we expect the sale to be better than what normal sale would happen, because of the destocking that already happened. But at this moment, it's very, very difficult for us to say when this will get resolved. As of today, it is not resolved.
Sure, and sir, I'm actually hospitalized.
We also all the industry has suffered in July as well.
Yes. Sir, then on Hospira, can you just throw some of your, is there still actually pricing pressure on the products that we sell, and maybe the outlook on the new products that we expect to launch in the JV?
So first of all, the pricing pressure, because of launch of newer product in the exclusive product, has already had the impact, and now we are getting into a steady base. We are planning to launch additional products, and one of the products which we plan to launch is Oxaliplatin, and that should help us to improve our number further. For this year, we expect the hospital number to be flat or little lower, but going forward, we should see the growth.
Yeah, so this Oxaliplatin will be launched in the U.S. Has it been already also launched in the EU market?
Both, yes, U.S. and European market.
And this will be in FY14, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, sir. I'll join back with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of HR Gala from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, just seeking a clarification on the effective tax rate that we see in quarter one consolidated. It is just 9.1%, and in Zydus Wellness it is a negative. That's why, you know, the earnings have grown by 68%. Otherwise, if we see profit before tax, it has grown just by 11%. So can you clarify why such a low tax rate and why negative in Zydus Wellness?
In case of Zydus Wellness, we had a refund of income tax paid earlier because of the Supreme Court judgment which allowed depreciation on goodwill.
Okay.
And we had goodwill in the books of Zydus Wellness, so we revised our return, and based on that we got refund of income tax paid earlier.
How much was that, sir?
It was about 5 crore rupees.
Okay. And in Cadila, what is the reason for just 9% tax rate?
Cadila is a consolidated rate.
Yeah, but I mean, how much we should presume? Because normally we have been saying that we should have around, say, 15% type of rate.
15%.
That we should go for 15%. Yes. So 9% is an aberration sort of.
Yes.
Okay. Second question pertains to how do you see overall outlook? Because, you know, for one reason or the other reason, you know, our sales growth is not happening. So, you know, again, getting back to our idea of reaching 3 billion sales, do you think that we will have major headwinds coming forward if things don't get in shape soon?
No, don't think that we have a headwind coming forward because we all know that this is that there is a significant investment that's been made in R&D and which is basically impacting the margin. But going forward, we clearly see that the R&D expense level will remain flat and that will help us to improve the margin. As far as this temporary not getting approval of new product is concerned, it is a temporary phase because it is the change in the system with FDA did after the GDUFA Act, and as a result, the new way of approving of product has started. Actually, it is new, it is taking time, but ultimately it is going to help to get even quicker approval. So we the way we see, we do not see that going forward we have an issue. With respect to the number of 3 billion, you know, that is a kind of thing where we do not want to say anything at this moment because the way the exchange rate is fluctuating, we don't know what rate we should take and based on that we should arrive at number. We are doing some exercise and by end of this quarter we expect that we would have clarity on what is going to happen to this 3 billion number. I hope by that time we would have much better clarity or stability of exchange rate.
Okay.
And we'll let you know by end of this quarter exactly what is going to happen to this 3 billion number.
Okay.
Because then we did the 3 billion exercise, that the assumption was that the dollar will be 45 rupees a dollar.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that is the that's the reality and I think we need to face it.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about that because ultimately growth will come back. The Indian market growth list which we are seeing now is a temporary thing. Going forward and long term, we do not see a problem in growth as far as Indian market is concerned. And US also will come back because we have several product files and approvals are expected. So it will happen one day and then we will see. Basically, approval and things will completely change.
I understand that, sir. Yeah, just last question from my side. As far as our arrangements with Abbott, Bayer, etc. are concerned, when do you think they will start contributing to revenue in a significant manner?
So, Bayer, we have a joint venture, so it is already contributing to the JV revenue.
Okay.
As far as the Abbott is concerned, we have just begun the commercial supply now.
Mm-hmm.
The ramp-up will take another 2 to 3 years, that's what they are saying.
Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krishna Prasad from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thanks for taking my question. Actually, just a question on this, you know, complete response letter that you spoke about. If you could just elaborate on, you know, how the system has changed and, you know, what are we seeing today? And
see, what happens when you file an ANDA, it has several sections. It has a CMC section. It has a labeling section, it has a bio study section. Different sections are there in the ANDA. Previously, what was happening, there are different departments in FDA who were doing these analysis. And suppose the one of the section is completed, they would send a raise and later think that these are additional information they require or they have issues with, they want there is a deficiency in the review of XYZ. Now, under the new GDUFA Act, FDA is mandated by law that they cannot issue a partial response letter, but they have to issue complete response letter. That means that all the three divisions have to complete evaluation and then one common letter will be issued for all the deficiency at one time. And the companies are also required to submit responses of all the things at a time. So previously, individually, the individual division was receiving, giving deficiency, we are replying. And then the other one will give a reply. So it was happening in piecemeal. Now that is a good thing because what happens in the process that time is taken for ultimately the query clearance is faster. But because this new system is introduced currently, there is a lag. And that's why the complete response letter, there is a delay happening at the FDA level. And the FDA expect by next year, they should streamline.
So Pankaj, if you could let us know if you have already received any such complete response letter.
We have received several ADs, we have received complete response letters.
Right, which means we now go back and work on it and then go back to the FDA.
Additional information they require, we might have to just reply, or we might have to do some additional work and reply. And then once you reply, then we are in the queue for approval.
Right. Okay, and just on the vaccine build, I know we spoke about the facility that was put up for vaccines and also biosimilars. If you could just maybe talk a bit about what our plans are as far as these areas are concerned, and what do we really see in terms of revenue upsides, let's say over a 2-3 year or 5 year period, where do we see these businesses heading?
So coming to biologics first, biologics, as you know, we already have products on the market. One map, we already have approval for doing clinical studies, and we are at this moment in the clinical studies, so that we would have approval of that map. Other maps are approved, but the Delhi, the clinical studies machine has stopped. They're not issuing permission at this moment. We expect that the government will resolve the issue with the Supreme Court by September, and then the approvals will start coming in, because they are already there, approved by everybody, except that when the Supreme Court says, yes, go ahead and give approval, we would set approval, and then the biological approval process will start. We also have initiated a clinical study for one of the MAP for registering into developed markets, and also we are registering the approved MAPs into emerging markets. So what we see from this perspective is India, we could see additional upside of MAPs coming up next financial year onwards. And emerging market also should be, we have some approvals in emerging market where we can get additional sales. As far as the developed market is concerned, it is still fluid because exact process is not yet fully defined. But we expect that we should have approval in about 3 years' time into some developed market where we could see a significant upside as far as biological is concerned. Vaccines, there are several vaccines which are under different stages of development, and some clinical studies are ongoing. We expect that products should get approval for marketing next financial year, and through that we would be launching in India and subsequently going for WHO accreditation and also selling in other markets. The vaccine program has several vaccines in different parts. So it has one of the large vaccine segment, is the quadrivalent and hexavalent vaccine. And also we have several other novel vaccines which are also in advanced stage of development. Many of them are in clinic now, and we expect that once those products will approve, we would have upside on vaccine coming up. In FY16, if I were to put it more fairly, that we would see a real impact of vaccine coming in FY16.
Right, but in either of these areas, are we sort of exploring partnerships, at least let's say for the regulated market portion of it? Let's say, are we sort of considering any of that, or is it
we are considering partnership also in some markets, and there are some talks going on, but nothing is concrete as yet.
Sure. Okay. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pino Patiparampil from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning to all. The EBITDA margin for the quarter, is there anything exceptionally bad about it, or are we looking at this kind of margin for the rest of the year?
EBITDA margin have impact because of foreign exchange trade ERF losses.
Sorry, for all that.
Lower margins at our Hospira JV. It has lower royalty income in the US and higher R&D costs and higher energy costs. So these are the things which have impacted the EBITDA margin.
So do we have visibility for a significant change in any of these for the next year?
We have done several actions to actually improve the EBITDA margin, including how to bring down costs, because that's one of the things we can do. Is we can't touch ERF thing because that is fluctuating and we can't do much about it. But whatever internally we can do in terms of controlling the cost and reducing the cost, including the PRISM program which we ran and completed successfully recently, we are going to see impact of that coming up now, and that would help us to improve the margin going forward.
Sure. And Pankajbhai, you know, compared to your peers, other pharma companies which have performed much better in the last couple of years, also there were a lot of tailwinds in the form of the weaker rupee, etc. You know, compared to that, Cadila has kind of like lost out in the last couple of years. If you take most of the markets, US, be it LATAM or the JV business, the scrams businesses, etc. So, did we get something wrong in the thought process originally, or is it just a phase?
I think it's a phase, mainly driven by not a lack of approval in the US, because we continue our total business. If you look at it, the major two business are US and India. India, we are doing okay and better than the market. So Indian growth has not impacted the comparable or better than peers in as far as India is concerned. Lack of product approval in the US has actually impacted our US growth. But coupled with that, because we continue selling our old products and also authorized generics, our margin got eroded in the US market. And that had an impact on EBITDA margin. On the JV, we had exclusivity and we lost exclusivity, and we do not have second exclusivity there. So as a result, we got impacted as far as JV numbers are concerned. So, but it's a one-time phase, and going forward, we are adding products into the JV, which would help us to grow the JV business as well. So I think it's a phase. I am very confident that next financial year onwards, we should see a significant improvement in margin and also a better sales growth.
Sure. And give me an update on Nesher. What is it going on plan as per the original plan when we acquired the company? Are we getting products on the market? Are those products doing well? Are we on track to get more products on the market?
So as far as Nesher is concerned, as per our plan, we are delayed by about 2 months for launch of one product, but otherwise we are on plan. As far and the overall Nesher product pipeline should have all approvals coming up by next year, and that should help us to beef up the number as far as Nesher is concerned. We are also now filing newer products from that site. Of course, it will take its own cycle of 3 years to get approval, but we are filing products from there which are new NDAs to make sure that, you know, we have healthy pipeline of some very interesting products going forward. So if I have to say Nesher's original plan and this plan, we are delayed by about a few months, and we lost one product which we thought we could have brought back, which is not going to happen. So I think that's what it is. On the FDA front, we are doing very well. FDA is very happy, and they have in fact reduced some of the oversight on our manufacturing by consultants because they saw a significant change in quality systems and things happening there. So we, so that way we are, on that front we are doing well. Nesher is a long-term play for us, and I think we are very excited because we believe that in future it will become a significant contributor to top line and bottom line of the organization.
Great. And finally, one question on transdermals. As of now, when do you think you can see the first approval? Is it FY15 or FY16?
Where, in Nesher?
No, transdermals.
Transdermals. One step towards the getting approval is in FDA inspection, which is currently happening. So that's the positive development as far as that is concerned. If everything goes well, we should have approval in FY15.
Thank you. I'll just thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. On the ANDA pipeline, could you give us the pipeline with yourself as well as with your partners? Pending and approved?
Yeah. So total filings so far are 179, of which 78 have been approved, and 101 are pending approval as of June 2013. Now this includes ANDAs filed for a partner also. So 19 among these are filed for a partner, out of which 7 are approved and 12 are pending approval.
Okay, and you talked about one injectable product being launched. Could you elaborate on that?
We launched ranitidine injection during the quarter.
Okay.
That we launched ourselves. Up till now, the injectable we launched was through a partner. This was launched by us.
Okay, and you talked about one product getting delayed for 2 months on the nature. Was it Microcane or?
No, Microcane is already approved and it's already we are selling.
But are you planning a site transfer or do you plan to expand the production?
So we are not planning any site transfer. It's being produced at nature only because it has enough capacity to produce the product.
Okay, and so the product delay was because of?
Hey, for new product approval. See, what I'm saying is that as a part of nature, we were to bring back products to the market, and where we see one of the products is delayed by about 2 months.
So nature is now a clean facility with no
problems.
Right. Okay. And as you said, you know, gave a guidance on the products which is expected to improve from 5 to 8. So is there a guidance on next year's pipeline launches?
We have so many approval pending, so we believe that next year we should have at least 10 to 15 approvals.
Okay, because I thought there would be bunching up, right?
We could have surprised also, but because I'm very cautious at this moment to say anything more because of the fact that the market is the way it is behaving.
Understand, but wouldn't it be fair to, assume bunching of approvals in fiscal 15?
Can happen. It is very difficult for because it's not in my head, it's third party, so I cannot. It can. We expect that something should happen, but I can't give you a guidance.
Okay, understood. And lastly, if I understand this correctly, as you said, India business, currently also seeing some disturbance in the inventory. So I think maybe this quarter as well and full year basis, it will see some recovery. U.S., you're already talking about 5 to 8 product launches. So any guidance you'd like to give on the margins?
We don't give guidance, so that's not our process. We don't give guidance, so we are not providing any guidance.
But it would look definitely up from here because of...
Yes, definitely. I believe so.
Right, so thanks, Anand.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, as we are short of time, we request the participants to limit the questions to 2 at a time. If time permits, we will come back to you should you have more questions. Next question is from the line of Jiten Doshi from Enam. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Pankaj Bhai.
Morning.
Yeah, my question is related to basically the joint ventures. What's the outlook there for the year and going forward, and what are you looking at in terms of product pipeline out there?
So as far as the joint venture is concerned with Hospira, we have added a new injectable product. We are also building a new line in the joint venture for adding additional products manufacturing. So that should help us in improving the numbers in next financial year because we would have additional capacity available for producing. Ultimately, the goal is to produce most of the oncology product for partners in India at our joint venture. As far as our joint venture with Takeda Nycomed, the Takeda joint venture also has, there is an advanced talk going on for adding additional products manufacturing in India, and we expect that additional product agreement should be signed off by end of this financial year. before the end of this financial year, and we would start manufacturing that also in the joint venture. So currently the joint venture has stabilized and growing, but it will, going forward, it will see further growth. Our third joint venture is with Bayer, and that is for Indian market, where we are seeing constant growth happening in the domestic market, including launching of patented products. We expect that going forward we should be able to launch the Bayer patented product in Zydus as well. So that's broadly I can describe as far as joint venture is concerned. They are gone into the bottom of their whatever it that to happen to them, and going forward we will only see upside.
Okay, and Pankaj, what is the sustainable growth rate you believe for the domestic market once all these issues are behind us, let's say after quarter two? What would you like to say is your sustainable growth rate for the domestic?
15%.
That's the sustainable rate.
Yeah.
And despite all the new launches and everything. So this would be like, if for FY15, we can consider 15% as a base rate.
Right.
How much would you really aspire to grow otherwise? About 18 to 20% normally, as you have done in many times before?
Usually we'll aspire for higher, but since you asked me a stable growth, so I say 15% is what minimum we have to get it. We should be better, and that's what should be our goal.
Okay. And one last question, Pankaj, what is the capex for the current year totally?
We are expecting capex of 550 crores.
550 crores. All right. Wish you all the very best. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Yu from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a few queries on Zydus Wellness performance. Could you help us understand how different products have grown and actually what's gone wrong with the top line growth, which is about 11%, and share some outlook on how do you see the sales growth happening on these products?
So in Zydus Wellness, Sugar Free continues to doing well. The sales on Nutralite has remained flat, and the Everuse also has remained flat, though there are some SKUs have grown and some SKUs have not grown, so it has remained flat, and that has overall impact as far as the growth is concerned, which is around 11% for the quarter. Going forward, we expect that we would touch closer to our 500 crore target, so we do not see that as an issue. So growth should be around 15 to 18% minimum. That's what we see.
But sir, what's your confidence level on this 15 to 18% growth numbers? I mean, what will help you?
Currently, we see that we can achieve that. We are doing a lot of things are happening at this moment, and we have relaunched our whole Everuse range. It has been supported now by advertisement, and that should help us. Sugar Free continues to do well, and on Nutralite we are working further. And going forward, we also would plan to launch new additional products during this year. It would help us to further increase the sale.
Okay, so we are planning to launch one more brand as such, or would these be extensions of the existing?
We are planning to launch a brand and also brand extension.
Okay. But sir, Everuth, is there a category problem, or is it to do with the brand itself for your brand?
It's not a category problem. It's a brand problem.
Any idea that you can give us on which area you are planning to launch a new brand? I mean, which?
No, I don't think we can tell you that at this moment, because it will not be in larger interest of our organization.
And anything to share on Nutralite? You're saying that again, it's been flat YOY. I know that there's a lot of competition in there. But has that aggravated further?
No, I think here we're getting into more value-added products, and we'll focus more on value-added products, which would basically differentiate us, and that should help us to grow the business.
Okay. Sir, finally, we wanted to understand whether this advertising would go up overall for the company, since top-line growth is a bit subdued from these levels.
No, I don't think advertisement will go up. We would remain at similar percentage.
But if the revenue grows, the advertisement spend will increase.
Yeah, and anything to share on the tax rate? You said that there is a 5 crore exceptional item for earlier years, but just can't get an understanding of the 8-9% tax rate that normally is there. So if you could just explain in short if to all the investors normally.
Vishal, can you explain?
Yeah, see, we have this facility in Sikkim where we don't have to pay any tax because it is a tax-exempted area. But still we have to pay minimum alternate tax, which is AMT for a partnership firm. But then again, you can claim credit of that AMT, which is allowable in the future years when that tax exemption period expires. So we pay the AMT and then claim the credit. So as a result, on net-net basis, we don't have to book anything on Sikkim facility so far as tax goes. So the tax liability is accounted for only the remaining part of the business, which is in the main company that is Wellness. So as a result, the consolidated blended tax rate comes down to around 8-9%.
But this AMT will be some 17-18% at least, I think.
Yes, correct.
Then we claim full credit on that. No?
Okay. Sure. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, please note you are requested to restrict your questions to two at a time. Next question is from the line of Hardik Bora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning everyone. This is Alok here. Just a couple of questions. One is on U.S. Pankajbhai. Would it be fair to assume that 20% growth guidance in U.S. would now be difficult to achieve for the fiscal?
This year, yes, it looks difficult to achieve the 20% growth guidance. Because we don't have approval. Next year, we should not find any problem in that.
Okay. And second one on the impact of NLEM that you mentioned, 90 crores. Now, this is just the impact that you calculated from price decline, or you are building in some volume gains also because of the price decline?
No, this is only price decline. There is a volume gain considered here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Shah from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. Just two questions, sir. Pankaj, on the US side, we understand that there are currently headwinds because of the regulatory changes. But once you see these headwinds getting, subsidized, I mean, going for FY15 onwards, do you see the significant ramp-up in US business over the next 2 to 3 years, as we have seen in case of some of your large peers?
That's what we expect also, because we have number of filings and they are in advanced stage of approval. So once those approvals start coming in, we already have created manufacturing capabilities for supplying those products. So then we should be like, we should see really a very good growth coming from US.
Okay, understood. Pankaj, my second question is on the ROW market. So this quarter particularly, we see a bit subdued growth at 14%. I mean, if we adjust for currency, maybe the constant currency growth would be even lower. So could you just throw some color on that? I mean, what is exactly happening on that front?
So what has happened in some of the markets which were there, last year we had significant sales, did not happen. And that's why it's only one market actually, Algeria, where last year, the same quarter, we had a sale of 10 crore rupees or so, and now this quarter there was no sale. And that's where that we see the subdued growth. But other markets are doing well, and we do not see an issue growing the business going forward.
Okay, so maybe on a sustainable basis, do we expect 20-25% growth in ROW, I mean, barring this?
Yes.
Understand. So one last question from myself. Pankaj, you mentioned in the Brazil that the lack of product approvals is causing the sales decline. But apart from that, do you see any structural issues? I mean, a higher competition or the price cuts by competitors, and how would it impact Cadil as a company?
So there are no structural change only, as I mentioned earlier, is because of destocking, reducing inventory by the wholesalers, distributors, and they traditionally they used to keep 75 days plus inventory. They want to bring that down to 45 days, and that has impact.
Okay.
So that's a structural impact you can see, but that's only, again, one time. It's not permanent.
Understood. Okay, so thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question.
So two questions on the US front. You know, in the last call you mentioned that there could be some low competition product. Now when we talk about 5 to 8 launches for the rest of the year, do you expect any of the low competition opportunities to come your way?
We think one of them can come in our way.
So sir, when you talk about low competition, how do you define that? Is there a revenue target you have in mind or competitive landscape that there are like 2 competitors, 3 competitors? I mean, how should we think about low competition?
Low competition is it's basically one or two players only or no players.
Okay. Okay. And my second question is, you know, of the 100-odd pending applications, can you just help, remind us how many of them are transdermal and topical and injectable? That's it.
We shall provide this offline because we are short of time.
Yeah, sure.
Sam will provide you this. We shall get you the data.
Okay, thanks. I'll take it.
Thank you.
That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management of Cadila Healthcare for closing comments.
Thank you very much, and look forward to interacting with you again after the second quarter in the month of October-November. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Cadila Healthcare, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.